Love gives. And continuing on with that, this morning I'm going to talk about how that the Lord gives you. God gives you. I think it's very important that we understand that God wants to give you. We've heard some very good faith reports this morning, and some of them particularly were talking about how God is using people in the workplace or using us with our neighbours. And God wants to give you. God is love, isn't he? And he wants to give you to people that don't know him yet. He wants to give his love through you to others. I thought that was a great testimony about that Yvonne gave. That's not lean on your own understanding. That's depending on the Lord and then doing something what God gives to you. God gave Yvonne to a neighbour. And is now developing a relationship. God wants to give us the keys, the wisdom as to what to do, but he wants to give us to a lost world. God wants to give you. Just turn to someone and say, God wants to give you. He wants to give you to others. And we're going to look at a scripture this morning to do with that. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 49. So four chapters out. Isaiah 49. And this is what the Lord spoke to me for us as a church last night. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that in this time that you just speak your word to us, as we read this scripture, that it'll come alive to us and we'll understand that you want to give us. You want to give us as a church, as a people. You want to give us as individuals, to our neighbours, to our relatives, to our even to our enemies. In the workplace, Lord, in our communities, you want to give us, Lord, as a covenant people. So that people understand who you are. And Father, we ask that you will work something special in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 7 it says, Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors or hates, to the servant of rulers. Who's this talking about?
Satan.
No.
Servant of rulers.
Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors or hates, to the servant of rulers. Who's it talking about?
Jesus.
It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. I just want you to get hold of that this morning. He has chosen you. He's chosen you, Barbara. He's chosen Indica. He's chosen Anne. He's chosen Debbie. He's chosen Fatima.
Chosen all of us.
He's chosen every single one of us in this hall this morning. He's chosen us by name. Now let's read what it says in verse 8. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. Let me just read those few verses again. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time. We're living in an acceptable time. Another word for acceptable is a time of favour. We're living in an acceptable time in the presence of God as a church. In an acceptable time, I have heard you. He has heard our prayer. He is hearing your prayers as you're speaking and praying to him. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. He's your help this morning. He's your help and your strength this morning. I will preserve you. He's not going to pickle you and put you in a jar and put you on a shelf somewhere, okay? I will preserve you means he's going to keep you. He's going to keep you good and well. He's going to keep you in his presence. I will preserve you and then it says, I will keep you and I will give you. There are two things. God will keep you in walking with him, in that relationship with him, keep you in his love. but he also wants to give you. There's a lot of Christians who want to be kept, preserved, but they're not so good at giving themselves to others. There's a lot of Christians who enjoy the presence of God, and that's all well and it should be, but not so hot on actually giving themselves to others. And the Lord is saying what he wants to not just keep us, he will keep us, and then he wants to give you as a covenant to the people. In other words, that we represent who Jesus Christ is in college, in university, in the workplace, in the town, the city, the village, wherever it is we go, we represent the covenant-keeping Jesus, the covenant-keeping God. And every time that we witness to someone, every time that we do something, whether it's be good or bad, we are representing or misrepresenting God. Do you agree with me?
Amen.
This is why it's really important that everything that we do, even things that you think no one else will see, no one else will notice, everything counts in God's kingdom. So your time of prayer, your relationship with God that no one else sees but God really matters. You're praying to God, your reading of the Bible, the things that you do that only God and you would know matters before God, because in this time God will keep you.
Amen.
And then he gives you. He gives you as a covenant, it says, to the people.
Amen.
That's an awesome responsibility that we have. And I believe in this season that we're in that God, we're going to see God giving us more and more to people in a way that they can actually understand who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for them, not just through the words that we speak, but the way that we actually are, the way that we're living, what's coming out of our hearts and our lives, and the things that we do will represent the covenant-keeping God that lives in us. Does that make sense? And God is saying to me, I'm going to pick you up as a church. I saw the Lord picking us up and putting us into a new position or a new place before his throne. I saw him picking us up and putting us on a much higher place, if I can put it that way, where by his grace and his favor and his love, things were really beginning to happen in a much more powerful way than we've seen. I started getting a bit excited about that, because God was saying, it's not what you do, it's what I do that really matters. It's not trying to do stuff for God, it's us obeying him and living before him, abiding in him. And he says, I will keep you. And as you trust in me, remember that word trust this morning, as you have this simple trust, it's not complicated, trusting in the Lord, but it demands our faith and our belief in him. As we trust in him, he will make us a covenant to the people around us.
Amen.
And I believe that between now and Christmas, and we're already beginning to see it, but we're going to see a lot of people who are going to be touched by the Lord Jesus, touched by the Holy Spirit, simply because we believed his word and we begin to see ourselves as a covenant people. It is exciting because it's not just about you, it's about us.
Yes.
And it's about us being together and in the things that we do. But also the times when you're on your own, you represent the church. You represent the body of Christ, that's the church. You represent the King of Kings. And the Lord wants to give you as a covenant to the people.
Amen.
So that means how you live your life really matters.
Amen.
You know, the people out there actually watch us very, very closely. They watch how we work, when we work. They watch how we treat our wives or husbands or children. They watch everything. Unsaved people are pretty shrewd. They understand things. They're not dummies. And they can read us believers like a book. That's why it's a great testimony that Rose gave this morning, that when she walked in, this guy who may go to church, but he's not saved yet. Right, he may be a religious man, but he doesn't know the Lord Jesus, but he recognized something in Rose of the presence of God. And that's another way that as we give ourselves to God, as we give ourselves to people, they will see the covenant of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Does this make sense?
Amen.
And this is why the last few weeks I was excited about Tina's faith report the other week, about praying for her, was it someone at work, someone in need. And we've had a few of those, and God is saying, wake up, church, to all of us, wake up, because it's time to step out of the boat, start walking on the waters, and you see what I will do for you. See what I will do through you, because I'm a covenant-keeping God, and I'm living in you, and all you need to do is speak the word that I give to you at the right time, and do the things that I ask you to do, and I will reveal my presence. And I will he will reveal something of his covenant to us, or through us, to those that don't know him. Does this make sense?
Yes.
I mean, people, a lot of people don't even understand about who Jesus is today. A lot of young people have no idea. Some people haven't even heard really about him. But if they can see him living in our lives, they've got the greatest evidence of the risen Jesus. Especially when we start praying for them and people start being healed and their lives start changing in answer to prayer. When we show acts of kindness and love, those things demonstrate a covenant-keeping God who's covenanted to save us. And the Lord's saying, I want you to be a covenant to the people. Let's just carry on reading just for a few minutes. I will preserve you, he says, and give you as a covenant to the people. I just want you just to close your eyes this morning. I'm just going to carry on reading, but close your eyes and just drink in these words. It is an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you, and I will give you, says the Lord, as a covenant, my covenant, to the people around you, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, come out. To those who are in darkness, be free. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Wow. This is talking about God moving amongst people who don't know him yet, who are going to come to know him.
Amen.
And the Lord is going to enable us to speak the word of God to them. And it says here in verse 9, that you may say to the prisoners, come out. You know, there's loads, hundreds of thousands of people, even just living around here, that are in prison. They're in their own prisons. In fact, if they're not saved, they're in a prison. They don't even know it. There are thousands of young people who are in prisons. Thousands of adults who are in prisons. Not literally in a prison down at Lewis Prison. But they're living, their life is like a prison. The devil has got them imprisoned in habits, in sin, in darkness, in demonic things, perhaps in drugs, maybe in adultery or immorality. There's so many different areas of sin, but they're imprisoned in sin. And we know that Jesus has set us free and forgiven us of our sins and brought us out of prison. And he says to us this morning, because you're free, you've been given the keys to go and unlock other people's prison doors and to bring them out and tell them they can be free too.
Amen.
This is why the gospel is good news. The gospel actually means good news. And rather than telling people they're going to go to hell, although they need to know that there is a reality called hell, what they need to hear is what God can do for them. How that God wants to, and what Jesus did on the cross was to die for them, to save them from going to that place of hellfire. But he's actually made a place possible for them to come to know him and to be set free out of their prison, out of their prison house. This is good news. And we've been given this wonderful covenant that we're living in, and we're to be a covenant to the people around us. Amen?
Amen.
You're getting the message this morning.
Amen.
God is encouraging us as we come into this autumn period, this we've still got a little bit more summer to go, hopefully. But during this time, these next few months, watch out for God, look out for God to use you and to make you a covenant to people.
Amen.
That means you're going to have to do something. That means as you pray, God will speak to you and say, here, Simon, this is what I want you to do with your neighbour. Well, I don't know whether I could do that. And God says, I will enable you. I will keep you and I'll make you a covenant to that person next door to you. I will change something around. You're going to have an opportunity to demonstrate my love to them and then speak my word of faith. And it's through the things that we do, action, and through the words that we speak, those two things together will demonstrate to people about the covenant that God's made for us.
Amen.
I mean, if you know you've been forgiven, you can tell others, listen, Alex, I've been forgiven. If you know God has healed you, you can tell someone else, listen, I know about healing. God healed me completely. And whatever it is that you've been through, you've got a personal testimony, haven't you? You've got a personal story of what God's done for you. And God wants you to use your personal story of what he's done for you and tell others about it. so that you can give them hope, because people who are in prison have no hope. They are hopeless, and Crawley's full of them. That's why people are so negative who don't know Jesus about Crawley. It's amazing, you know, the number of Crawley people who are negative about Crawley. Yet Crawley, actually, if you compare it to other cities and towns, is one of the best towns that there is in this country.
Amen.
It is, really. You know, you go to other places in London, and they're desperate places to live. You need a lot more faith to live in places like Streatham or than you do in Crawley, in one sense. But God is saying this is a blessed town, and people need to hear the good news about the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And he wants us to say to people, come out. Go forth. Come out of your prison and to help them out. To those who are in darkness, be free. We've got a message of freedom, church, haven't we? That God wants us to be strong about telling others and to do something very practical. So are you ready to step out of your boat?
Yes.
Are we ready as a church to maybe do a few things slightly differently?
Yes.
Are we open for the Holy Spirit to come and say, I don't want you to do it that way any longer, I want you to do it this way?
Yes.
God wants us to be open to hear his voice speaking to us, because the reason is that the Lord will not be satisfied unless people are saved. Jesus wasn't satisfied. Jesus was content in one sense when he was here, but he was never satisfied, because he was always seeking and looking out for people to be saved, for people to come into the kingdom. And he hasn't changed. He's the same, except that he's just living in us now. He will do his work through each one of us. But God wants to set captives free. I often think, if I hadn't knocked on a person's door, or if I hadn't done a certain thing that God prompted me to do, that person would probably not be in the kingdom today. Are you with me?
Yes.
If we obey God when he prompts us to do different things, and he'll get us to do different things in different ways, but as we follow his promptings, the Lord wants to make us and make you a covenant to the people
Amen.
That you work with.
Amen.
A covenant to the people that you live next door to.
Amen.
I'm still praying for my next door neighbour. He's in his late 70s. I've given him the gospel probably 100 times in different ways. I've given him cups of tea. I've sat down and we've talked. We've stood up and talked. We've been around his vegetables and talked. We've done lots of stuff. And he's not saved yet. But I'm believing that he will be saved before he leaves this earth. I will not be satisfied until he really gives his life to Jesus. But it will take the Holy Spirit to do that work. But what I am being to him, I hope, is I'm being a covenant to him. I'm demonstrating some of the covenant of God to him. And believe you me, our neighbours do watch us. And they take everything in. And we need to remember this, that as we go about our weeks at work and whatever we do, that God wants to use us to be a covenant people, to demonstrate the covenant. God has given you as a covenant to the people around you. I think of Joyce this morning cutting people's hair. I don't know how many heads she must cut. I mean, not heads, literally, but sorry, Joyce. How many haircuts she must give people during the course of a year. But it probably amounts to hundreds and hundreds. What a great opportunity to be a covenant to those people that are sitting under your hands. And she knows that. I know she knows that. What a great opportunity to see God move in your workplace too. And I know many of you have got jobs where you have great opportunities to be a covenant to the people or to the children that you work with, demonstrating the love of Jesus. God is going to show us, as he lifts us up as a body, as a church, we're going to see some wonderful things happen over these next few months of people coming into the covenant, being saved, people being set free, people coming out of their prison. Can you begin to believe this? Can you begin to see it? God wants to use you and use me. He wants to use us as a church and as a body too.
Amen.
And he will do so as we trust him.
Amen.
The Lord says that he's going to save many. And he's going to lift us up as a body and put us into a new place of grace where he's going to flow through our lives as we step out of the boat onto the waters. And there's always, with faith, there's always a step you have to take, and there's nothing there except God. And when you take that step of faith, whatever it is, whether it's to do with work, whether it's to do with money, relationships, God always, always asks us to take a step of faith first. But as we take the step of faith, God turns up. God moves. That's the way it is. Do you remember, I'll just close with this, when Jesus raised that lame man up. When Peter raised the lame man up who had been crippled for many, many years. He didn't say to him, "I'll pray for you when I get home, brother." He didn't say to him, "I'll fast and pray for 3 weeks." He didn't say, "I'll think about it." He said, "Look, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, what I have, what do you have this morning?
Jesus.
You have Jesus, and you need to know the Jesus that you have on the inside of you, because when you do, you'll be able to say, in the name of Jesus." And you notice Peter says, reached out his hand. That was his first step of faith. He said, in the name of Jesus. Perhaps that was his first step of faith. He spoke the name of Jesus. He reached out his hand. Why? Because he was expecting the man to be healed. And it says, as he pulled him up, strength came into the man's ankles. It didn't say strength came to his ankles before. It says, as he reached out his hand and pulled him up, strength came into him and he got healed instantly.
Amen.
And began to leap and dance on those steps outside the temple and went into the temple. And it must have been an amazing sight. God wants to work those kind of miracles through us. God wants to answer mighty prayers, simple faith prayers, and do mighty works through you and me. And he can do so if we'll trust and believe him.
Amen.
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 God is bringing us into a season of grace and fruitfulness. Amen. And he wants us to be a covenant to people. Do you know the reason that you're still here on earth is because he wants you to be a covenant, to demonstrate the covenant love of God, the covenant love of Jesus to those around you.
Amen.
So that they can come out of their prison and be set free.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to finish with that. I'd like to sing that song, "Nothing, Nothing is Impossible for You." We're going to sing that just one more time because it really speaks about the fact that nothing is impossible for him if we'll just trust him and believe him. Sorry. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Just offer yourself up afresh to him. Lord Jesus, thank you this morning as we give ourselves to you afresh today, Lord. Thank you, God, that you pick us up, Lord. Thank you that you're utterly trustworthy. You're like the wall there, that you're not about to fall down. And as we trust in you with all of our hearts, our minds, Lord, as we love you with all of our strength, Lord, and refuse to lean upon our own thinking or our own understanding, we thank you, Lord, that we're entering into a time of fruitfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you want to make us a covenant to people around us. You want to demonstrate, not just through words, but through deeds and through action, Lord, what this love that went to the cross, this love that shed blood, this love that poured out life, went into the grave, went down to hell itself and came back again. This love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we thank you this morning, Lord. Lord, I can only speak for me, and I just pray that as we speak for ourselves this morning, Lord, I want to be a covenant to the people.
Amen.
Just say that to the Lord if you do this morning. Say,
I want to be a
covenant to the people. Your covenant, Lord. Your covenant of freedom. Your covenant of healing. Your covenant of life. Your covenant of love. Your covenant of power. Your covenant of grace. Your covenant of mercy. Your covenant of peace. Lord, let it be poured out in me, Lord. Let it be poured out through me, Lord. Today and this week, Lord, and this season, Lord. As we enter into a time of grace where you lift us up as a church, Lord. As we trust in you, Lord. As we step out of the boat, Lord. Make us a covenant, Lord, to people that they might be saved. Many young people might be saved. Many older people might be saved, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Just give yourself to the Lord.